Welcome to another episode of Calm Talks. We're here to help you lead a life of peace and progression, one calm talk at a time. My name is Adil. I went from someone who barely passed high school growing up in Pakistan, a country that's infamous for sectarian violence and political instability, to now being a successful consultant who manages some of the biggest accounts at a multi-billion dollar tech startup in Manhattan.
And my name is Ant. I've gone from growing up in one of London's most financially deprived and crime-ridden areas to today working in New York City as management in one of the world's largest consultancy practices. We have both turned our lives of chaos into calmness by focusing our minds on two main goals: achieving peace and progression. Today, we share our stories, our learnings, our mantras, and our guiding principles with you so that you too can build your own life of calm.
On the last episode, we spoke about what's really important: relationship green flags. Those are what allow you to know when it's right to proceed. But to manage your relationship traffic, you must also know when to stop. So today, we're going to break down five relationship red flags that you should look out for in men and women.
Just want to clarify that these are our red flags. They're not all red flags. These are just the ones that we think are really important to us. I also want to say that we've ignored some more common red flags. You know, we're not going to talk about people that may have addiction issues, or, you know, they're bad communicators or don't know how to communicate certain things in their life, or their past traumas, things like that. Obviously, we're going to not include people with like narcissistic traits or, you know, more commonplace red flags. We're going to stick to things that we've learned from our experience and share them with you. I also want to say that just because you or the person you're dating may have these red flags doesn't mean that they are impasses. Doesn't mean they are things you can't work through. These things are always things that can be worked on. And we just want to highlight them so that you can become aware of what your red flags might be or what the person you're with may be displaying. Obviously, we want you to take this on board and, if possible, use it to make yourself a better version of yourself.
So let's jump in. The first red flag is about regulation rejection. This is the part of a person where they can actually navigate and manage their own emotions. And a part of what we talk about at Calm Talks, a part of our ethos, is actually calmness, which is effectively a state of being free from strong emotion. It's about your ability to regulate those strong emotions and come to objective decisions and move forward accordingly. I think that whenever you have a dynamic with another person, you have to be really present with how you feel, how they feel, and how are you going to respond in that situation. Failure to do so can create a lot of conflict and problems over there. I just want to say that when a person is ruled by their emotions, that's what creates an unsafe environment. And that sort of environment does not ever build trust.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree. Regulation rejection is when somebody rejects the idea or the ability to emotionally regulate themselves. They're not able to stay present, stay calm, stay focused, and really understand where they're at and communicate that calmly. So regulation rejection is all about being in a clear state of mind and being able to communicate that. I also want to say that we've done a bit of research here, and we understand that emotionally unstable personality disorder is actually the most common type of personality disorder. It's actually something that a lot of people experience, and they experience it in many different ways, whether that be from really wild mood swings, struggling with their anger, paranoia, or just having a pattern of unstable, shallow relationships. And we're kind of bringing this to light when we talk about regulation rejection, because it's actually quite commonplace, quite clearly from the statistics, that it's quite difficult for a large number of people to regulate their feelings. And just because it's commonplace doesn't mean that it's okay. And that's why it's our number one red flag. We understand the gravitas of this. It can be quite widespread, but you don't want to be somebody that's not regulated, and you don't want to be around them, because to Adil's point, it's hard to build that emotional bonds with somebody that is quite volatile. And ultimately, they're just going to be emotionally unavailable for you. And if you're the one displaying that, likelihood is that you'll be emotionally unavailable to them.
And that's such an important point that you made, that, you know, these red flags that we're talking about, it's not only about what to look out for another person, but also for you to introspectively look at yourselves at. If I was to take a look at my life, I haven't always been able to regulate my own emotions. So for a large chunk of my childhood and even early 20s, I would get really emotional and actually lash out on people quite often because I didn't know really how to navigate my life with calmness. We talked a lot about that on this podcast as well, about how I've had to develop my calmness, not really something I was born with. But those were red flags that, frankly, I demonstrated. And through therapy and life, I was able to actually learn to regulate those emotions better, where I can identify when they come up for me and then be able to actually navigate through them. Because the cost of that is actually not only the harm you do to your own mental state, but to the mental state of the person that you are trying to build a partnership with.
You know, talking about building a secure relationship with somebody, I think that actually brings us nicely onto the second point, which is what we call the poker player. It's just somebody who holds their cards close to their chest. Somebody that doesn't say how they feel or struggles to express themselves, kind of alluding to the point you mentioned you would lash out. It's in your past, you would find it difficult to calmly express yourself. And also, I'd say another kind of proxy for this poker player is somebody that judges first without understanding. Now, the reason we put this as second is because we also recognize that somebody that is a bit of a poker player is also somebody where it's hard to build a secure bond with them. They're secretive. They are emotionally, you know, withdrawn. And of course, how can you build a bond with somebody where they're not revealing their full cards to you? They're not being vulnerable.
You know, this one hits home really for me, not only because I was a successful poker player, but also because I tend to keep my cards close to my chest.
I have to be honest. We named this one after you.
Yeah, thank you. I saw that. I was like, yo, this is definitely pointed at me.
Cheeky, right?
To be honest, you've made me more aware of it and actually given me good advice on this only very recently. It is something that I'm aware of, that I have a tendency to keep people at arm's length. And that is not really what makes a person feel secure. That's not really how you build a connection with a person if you always keep them distant. I know why I do that. It's because there's a level of fear and anxiety that I'm just trying to keep myself safe. I don't want to be hurt. I think there is that element of that. So reasons aside, the fact that I'm aware of it, I try to navigate through that and make sure that I build a bridge with the other person so I can let them in. Actually, that the best way that you can build trust with another person is to open up your own arms and trust them. That's how you can earn someone else's trust, by giving it, and then you receive.
Yeah, agreed. So we're talking about somebody that's a bit emotionally secretive. They're not really revealing all their full cards. But to your point, to build that trust with somebody, if you're the one that's vulnerable first, you're the one that reveals your cards first, you show them you're confident or you're secure in being vulnerable, and that allows them to be vulnerable back. And that's how you build that bridge between two people. And if you are yourself a bit of a poker player where you don't always reveal how you feel, maybe take a step back and think why that is and try and work on it a little bit. Because if you are looking to build a relationship with somebody, you don't want that to be one of the red flags that you're displaying.
Totally. We can't emphasize this enough. As much as you must be listening to this episode thinking about these are red flags that you have to look out for another person, first, always pause and reflect on yourself as to what you're demonstrating. But you couldn't have said it better over here. This is about building a bridge between two people who might be standing on different sides of the river. And when you keep a person distant, you inadvertently ask of them to build that bridge to reach to where you're at. But effectively, if you can start building the bridge on your side as well, you both arrive at the destination and meet each other halfway. Where this all actually comes together to is that when you're looking at keeping a person distant, you might be thinking about your own self and your own needs. And that's what kind of leads us on to the third red flag that we have, which is that you want to be cognizant of a person who might be either too selfless or too selfish. In either situation, you may have a person who is thinking too much about themselves, about how to keep themselves secure, protect their own needs, and protect themselves the best that they can. If they're always about me, there is no partnership that you can work on. Partnership, in effect, is for you to actually think about the other person fairly often. At the same time, at the opposite end of the spectrum, you also could have a person who's too selfless, a person who overinvests themselves in a relationship, a person who neglects their own needs over the needs of the other person. And over a long enough time horizon, what ends up happening is that that person is going to end up resenting the other individual. They're going to end up resenting that relationship because they're constantly sacrificing their own needs. And these polarized situations, neither of them are what build a safe and secure environment.
Yeah, agreed. When we're talking about too selfish, I think some common ways to identify this is somebody that lacks acceptance of your existing life. Let's say you meet somebody, or again, to bring it around to yourself, let's say you struggle to accept someone's existing life. You want someone to change their ways to fit what you want. Or conversely, they expect you to change your ways to fit what they want. Either person is being too selfish in that regard. Same if they or you think the world revolves around you. It's about how you feel, what you want, or if they're telling you, oh, you have to consider me, me, me all the time. Love being center of attention, and people that are unsupportive of your dreams, or if you yourself are someone that's not supportive of someone else's dreams. These are all kind of identifiers of someone that's a bit too selfish. Someone that's too selfless, on the other hand, is probably someone that lacks a bit of self-care. They don't have any self-care practices. They don't know how to show themselves love. They don't take themselves on a date. They might not do their skincare routine or things like that, right? They might not go to the gym. They might not invest in their other relationships with their friends or family. There's someone that is not thinking about, they're not putting themselves first. And I think another thing I really want to bring up here is about dependency issues. Someone that is maybe too selfless might also have signs of being codependent. And that's something else we plugged in episode 20 and 21, The Art of Finding a Partner. One of the key questions we discussed about is what your dependency type is. Without going into the details too much there, we just want to say that codependency is also a sign of something that may be unhealthy for you, whether you're displaying it, whether they are. So you also want to make sure that the person is not always putting themselves in the back position or in the further back position, whereby they always want to do everything else together.
Polarized situations will always create a level of imbalance. And a part of a happy life is striving for that balance. The balance that we strive for at Calm Talks is peace and progression. Having a little bit of everything stable in your life is what allows you to have more security. Polarity at either end is what creates unpredictability, whether that's the person who's too selfish or too selfless. That unpredictability is what creates insecurity. And that's what we're trying to do over here and focus on creating that safe and secure place for both parties.
You know, admittedly, this is something that I've struggled with. I've actually, in my past, been a bit too selfish. So you mentioned peace and progression. That's something that I've always prioritized. And I'll be honest, I sometimes over-prioritized it, if you will. I was so focused on being at peace and so focused on my progression, I did not allow for anything else in my life. Now, you can argue that's a great thing. Oh, yeah, because you were really strong-minded and you really wanted to have a peaceful life and you wanted to be successful. But the issue with that is that I then didn't allow anybody else in my life. Anyone that disturbed that progression, they were gone. Now, yeah, you can, like I said, you can argue, oh, that's great, but that leads to a lonely life. You kind of have to understand that there's a happy medium to your point. There's that harmony between being too selfless and too selfish. And you kind of got to see it like the ocean, right? There's always waves crashing in. Not every wave is a tsunami. You want to have that nice flow of the ocean where it's peaceful and you enjoy it. Sometimes it's going to go back, sometimes it's going to go forward, but that's okay. You don't want to be so rigid and being too selfless or too selfish where even the smallest wave comes and it feels like a crashing tsunami.
Bro, you're such a visual man, a visual describer and speaker. You're a poet, man. I ain't going to lie.
What can I say, man?
Oh, man. I just love the visuals that you did over there, as you usually do.
And I think, I think that actually brings us really nicely, actually, to be honest, right, onto our fourth one. And that's about accountability. Or as we say, a red flag is no account of accountability. Because look, I know that I'm not perfect. I'm just as imperfect as everyone, right? But I'm accountable for that. I've turned around and said, you know what? I recognize that I have on occasions been a bit too selfish for my goals of peace and progression. I'm accountable. No account of accountability is someone that cannot be accountable. Everything is always someone else's fault. They're always looking to blame, lack self-awareness to understand how they kind of come across to other people. And, you know, there's other kind of proxies for this as well. For example, they may have history of poor relationships, or again, that blame behavior for why things went wrong, or they may have bad relationships with friends or family, things like that. But ultimately, it's all baked in somebody that has a behavior whereby they're not looking inwards, they're looking outwards for reasons for why things didn't go their way. They're not being accountable.
Dude, that's such a important factor of just navigating through life as a whole. Like, anyone who plays the victim card or falls into a victim mentality is actually showing a lack of strength and maturity. And if that carries over to your relationships, then it's not, again, going to be something that's going to create a strong bond between you and the other person. When you take accountability for your actions, you actually come across more secure and more confident than when you're actually trying to deflect all responsibility. I'll say this myself. I'm probably one of the most flawed human beings I know. I'm imperfect beyond reason, and I've made a plethora of different mistakes in my life, and I'll make many more for the remaining years that I'll be here on Earth. But more often than not, I think I can pause, reflect, and say, you know what? That was my bad. And I can put my ego aside and apologize to the other person for that. The fact is that when you're going to be in a relationship or any partnership, you're going to have arguments. You're going to have fights. And what you need to ask yourself is, are you fighting to fight or are you fighting to fix? If you're fighting to fix, you must have an accountability from both people. Both people need to be committed to this. You can't just have one person always taking accountability and the other person is very happy with that. No, both individuals need to be coming together in order to try to repair any of the fights or damage that's been done in a relationship and take ownership of their own parts.
Agreed, because if that doesn't happen, then at least one person will be feeling unfulfilled, if not both. So yeah, no account of accountability, red flag. Always try and be accountable. Look inwards, think about how you could do better, how you could be better for the other person in front of you, and look for somebody that thinks the same way.
And a part of feeling unfulfilled is an indicator of the fifth red flag, which is someone who really values validation. To an extent, we all need some level of validation. We do. It's nice to be acknowledged, it's nice to be understood, and it's nice to be validated. Social media has compounded on that sentiment as well, because we probably seek that out to an extent. But when you value that external validation, it's kind of a reflection on you missing that value for yourself internally. When a person is constantly seeking out approval of others, love from others, it is usually because there may not be any love within themselves. I'll be honest, like when I grew up, you know, for those of you who know me, like growing up in a South Asian in a Pakistani household, there was a massive emphasis on what the neighbors, the uncles, the aunties, you know, everyone else would say about you. So there was kind of this baked in pressure of like, oh, what will others think of me? So you kind of cared about what the opinion of everyone else was. And I'm not going to lie, like, I think I have a little bit of this red flag, which I was born into with that validation of seeking that external validation. To be very, very open and honest, I'm actually going to also say that there's an element of maybe me not getting enough love and affection from my parents. I think that's actually the core of what I feel caused me to seek external validation, is that because I grew up in a household where there wasn't enough emotion shown, there was a very stoic and a very matter-of-fact objective about like, yeah, you're my kids, that's why I have to take care of you. It didn't really create that feeling of love, which actually created a hole in my life. And I love my parents to death. They're absolutely incredible people. My late father, who's no longer here, they did the best they could, and I absolutely love them to death for it. But at the same time, I have to admit that that is probably what, for me, caused me to value validation from others, and then trying to get caught up in kind of like partying and going down a path which was far from calm.
You know, you've been really candid here. And I'll say, firstly, I appreciate that. I think that's very powerful to share that. But I'm going to ask a follow-up question. What impact did seeking validation have on your relationships?
I would say for the large part of my life, a very negative impact. Because I did not receive the love that I was seeking from my parents when I grew up, I had no example of what healthy love looks like. And if I had no idea of what that is, I was left with a hole where I couldn't love myself. And without that, I think you genuinely can't love someone else until you love yourself. I saw that my relationship struggled because at the back of my mind, there was always a fear of abandonment. There was always a fear of me being left vulnerable. And that created a very anxious relationship. So unfortunately, I'd say that this has had a pretty negative impact on my life. I met some wonderful women in my life, and I think that, you know, it was probably at a time where this was still a red flag for me. And through the years, I have learned to appreciate the bits of me, the parts of me, even the ones that are completely flawed, to accept who I am for what I am. And I think this red flag is something that I've overcome, which we kind of did mention at the beginning of this episode, that red flags are kind of a proxy for what you should look out for. But at the same time, I think that we all have to recognize that we're all imperfect. So look at another person's red flags with some compassion, with some empathy, to give them space to recognize, have they healed from what they've gone through? Because we don't know everyone's journey.
I think that's actually a perfect place for us to wrap up. I think we've covered 5 really, really key red flags here. And I'm going to just quickly go over them again as part of our summary. The first one being regulation rejection, whereby somebody is unable to regulate their emotions and communicate them effectively. The issue with that being that they are then emotionally unavailable for their partner. The second one being the poker player, somebody that keeps their cards close to their chest. They're not emotionally able to explain themselves, and they may find it hard to be open and vulnerable. Again, this leads to insecure attachments between two people. Third one being too selfless and too selfish. You really don't want to be anywhere on either side of the spectrum, but somewhere in the middle where you're able to give and take for yourself and for the other person. Fourth one, no account of accountability. You yourself need to be accountable, and you need to identify people that are themselves accountable so that you can own up to mistakes and you can work through your differences. And the fifth and final one is valuing validation. Looking for external validation for your life, your experiences, your relationship, wherever it might be. The ultimate problem with that being that it will form potentially insecure attachments between two people. And as always, stay calm.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Calm Talks. And just as a reminder, if you like what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review.
You can also find us on Instagram at Calm Talks and join our mailing list by visiting our website at calmtalks.com.
And as always, stay calm.